This is Mary Lewis at A Tiny Homestead, the podcast comprised entirely of conversations with homesteaders, cottage food producers, and crafters. Today I'm talking with Brittany at The Green Shack. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Tell me about yourself and The Green Shack.
So I am a horticulturist, and we started The Green Shack to do some landscaping and things. And then I found out that I had rheumatoid arthritis and decided that landscaping was probably not a good idea.
Yep.
So we pivoted and are doing more of a hobby arts farm. So we do lots of crafts and birthday parties, and we've got some animals. We've got goats and chickens and ducks and rabbits and bees, and I host Girl Scouts and 4-H and just more of a community event kind of thing than landscaping, I guess.
So you're doing everything.
Yeah, a little bit of all of it.
Very nice. So I have a question about you being a horticulturalist.
Yeah.
My former neighbor was 2 credits shy of being a horticulturalist. Like, she went to school for it.
Yeah.
And she's my age. She's 54, I think. She might be 55 now. And she was saying that she got a lot of pushback from the males in the industry, mm-hmm. telling her that women didn't do well as horticulturalists. And granted, my neighbor was a little tiny lady. She's like 5'5" and tiny, maybe 100 pounds soaking wet. Did you get any pushback? Because I'm assuming you're not 55. So it was a different time.
I'm not 55. I went to school when I was about 30. Mm-hmm. I did not have any pushback because my teacher was a woman.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she had been in the industry for 25, 30 years. But I didn't feel any kickback from her, I guess. There's always men out there that feel that women can't do the things men can, or surprised when a woman can do the things men can do. So there have been a couple boomers that have stated, like, wow, you can drive a bobcat, and oh, you hooked that trailer on yourself. Or like, careful, that's heavy and it's a 50-pound bag of feed, and I throw it over my shoulder and walk away. So there's comments like that I think as a woman we're always going to get, as far as like the science wise, I haven't had any pushback or weird comments about that. I think, I'm not sure when your friend went to school. I'm assuming it was like right after high school into college. And
yeah,
I mean, 30, 40 years between that and now, there's been a lot more acceptance of women in the science fields.
Yeah, I think it was probably a generational thing.
Absolutely. And I hate to put boomers down, but that's kind of their mentality, is more of women are supposed to be in the home and doing cooking and cleaning and stuff, right? But that's just how they grew up, and I get it, but we're not there anymore.
Oh. No, thank goodness we're not there anymore. In defense of boomers, my parents are boomers, and my dad, because obviously he's male, was very, very pro go do the thing you want to do with me.
Yep.
So it's not all of them, but as
right.
a general
yep.
rule,
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Just like the generation before my parents' generation, the men tended to be very quiet. They weren't very social, and they weren't real good about expressing feelings. So we've come a long way, baby.
We have come a long way. Yes, we have. Yes.
Okay. So I was reading your story on your website, and I love how this came about. Can you share about the beginning to now?
I guess, which part of the beginning do you want me to talk about?
Whatever the beginning was on the website. I could look, but I don't remember.
Let me look and I'll double check here. Just so I don't go too far forward, or I don't, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. While you're looking it up, the way I found you is my mother-in-law actually texted me, and she had been doing some researching for classes and found you guys' website.
Well, that's so awesome.
She said, do you want to see if they want to talk with you? I was like, yes, I do. Thank you.
Yeah, I was surprised that you had reached out. It's really, we still haven't gotten a lot of, I guess, I can't think of the words right now, but
press publicity,
marketing. I've gotten some like outstanding things, like things, weird things that are like, I never would have thought that it would be something that we would be a part of. And then other weird things like, or just like local small publication kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Let's see here.
I'm looking too while you're looking. So we're both typing.
Just as far as like opening a business, we've always, my husband and I have always kind of wanted to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. He's a military vet, served in Iraq for a little while. We got married pretty much right out of high school, and he joined the military and I went to cosmetology school, and I wasn't super happy with doing people's hair all the time. It was more of a, this is where I'm going to start and I'll figure things out later. He has struggled with some PTSD in the past and was getting better. And I was like, well, I don't have to focus a lot of my time like making sure he's okay. So then I went to horticulture school and got my horticulture degree. And while I was in school, sorry, the birds are being loud. We were looking around at areas that we could maybe open a business in. In this beautiful 7.25 acre piece of land with some large buildings came up for sale. And we decided to go for it. It wasn't the prettiest inside the buildings when we bought it. It was kind of a mechanical hoarder's paradise. It was very clustered, claustrophobic-y kind of, there's just stuff everywhere. So it took about a year to clean it. Oh, at least until we could get people into one part of the building. And then I was going to start doing classes for like succulents and learning how to propagate and kind of depending on how they wanted to do it, more of like pollinator gardens and edible perennial kind of things and how to incorporate them into your gardens and those kinds of things. And then COVID hit. So then it was another year at least of cleaning and organizing and prepping and a lot of taking care of animals and figuring out what we were going to do with all that. And that it was 2021 and I was finally able to start kind of opening up and letting people in. And we started doing, in 2022, we decided to start doing some more community events. So we did a community Easter egg hunt. So the Easter egg hunt was free and we had, I don't know, like 200 kids in here hunting for eggs, and we went through 1,000 eggs in like 10 minutes, and we had to reassess our plan for that. And we did a Halloween event that year and started doing more classes and more marketing, and have just kind of expanded from there. I do a lot of classes through community ed and have hosted multiple birthday parties and like business events. It's just kind of a fun place to hang out. There's lots of little kid event little kid things to do, but everybody loves to snuggle bunnies and baby goats.
Yes.
Yes. Animals you hear are button quail, so everybody's fascinated with them.
I thought it was kittens in the background at first when I first heard it. I was like, does she have a kitten? And then I was like, no, I think it's a bird. It sounds like a really fun business. Like you must wake up in the morning and be like, what do I get to do today?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm not the greatest at being able to market myself. I'm not good at with words, but I'm getting there, and we're getting more and more. I feel like every day people are like, oh, I haven't heard of the Green Shack, or I've heard of you, but I don't know what's going on out there. And then I try to explain it, and I feel like I just stumble over my words. And I really am just pushing people to come out here and see what it is and what we do, and they get kind of a better feel of the space and what we can offer. And
yeah. So is Owatonna right near you?
It's about 30 minutes west of us.
Okay. So what's the biggest town near you? Is that it, or city?
Is 30 minutes the other way to the east.
So you're right in between. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I have a marketing background, and I'm pretty good at publicity. So maybe I can think of some things to help you with telling people about what you do in a elevator speech. I would be happy to do that.
Yeah. We've tried to make elevator speeches, but we just do so much that it's hard to come up with a nice short way of explaining all of it.
You could call it the fun zone, but that's already taken.
Right.
I had a question from what you were saying 5 minutes ago. I'm trying to catch it, get it back. Now I can't remember. I've got to get a notebook and put it beside me when I'm talking with people, because I think things, and I get listening and I forget what I was going to ask you. Stuck. Can't remember what it was. I shouldn't say I'm going to have to edit it out. Oh, I know what it was. In this day and age of people being able to go out to YouTube and learn how to do something just by watching someone else do it, It's amazing to me that people still sign up for actual in-person classes. And I'm glad that they do, because I think there's a real community that gets built when people go to a class instead of just sitting in their living room watching a video of how something's done.
Absolutely.
So do you have a lot of people take your classes?
Not a lot yet. Like I said, I'm not great at marketing. Community Ed has been helping a lot, getting my name out there, offering specific classes for people and times and dates and stuff that seems to help. I have found that a lot of people that come in are like, oh yeah, I've seen this on YouTube and I've always wanted to do it, but I've never like made the time, or I've never like, cause you have to make the time to go shopping for all the supplies. Right. And then you have to get them all out, and then you have to make the thing, and then you have to clean up afterwards, where I have a 2-hour, let's say, schedule where you come, I have everything set out for you. You start making your thing, have a lot of fun. You can bring your own beverages and food and whatever and have a good time, and then you don't even have to clean up. You can just bring your fun project home and I'll clean up afterwards. So
it's like going to a birthday party and walking away with the hostess gift.
Yeah.
Fun. That's great. Yeah. Awesome. So you said you have goats. Everyone knows who listens to my podcast, they know that I love goats. I love baby goats. We do not have any because I'm not keeping goats. Do you do anything with the milk from the goats?
We do. As far as right now, we do a lot of goat milk soap. And I even do like a class. So it's $50 and you come in and you get the one. It's like, ends up being like 10 or 11 squares of soap that you get at the end of it. But you get to put in your own scents and your own colors. And it only ends up being about a half an hour of work. And then you come pick it up the next day after I cut it.
Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I love that. We make cold processed lye soap here.
And yep.
I say we, but actually my husband makes it, because I do not like playing with lime water. It makes me nervous.
So we use the lye in with the goat milk instead of water, and then we actually use it with goat milk ice cubes, frozen goat milk, and it keeps the temperature down and the fumes down, and it's not quite in a as a toxic substance as it would be if you just putting it in regular water.
Not quite as scary, yeah.
Yeah, yep.
We have friends who have goats, and her goats are due any time now.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get some goat's milk from her, and I'm going to tell my husband about what she said and be like, you want to try making it with goat's milk instead of water? Because I hear it's safer.
Yeah. So I put it in the freezer in ice cube form, and it makes it a little easier to measure it out properly. I mean, you could do it by weight and then put it in the freezer.
Yep.
But then you don't have to wait for it quite as long to melt with the lye. And then what's the other thing? Oh, and then it doesn't burn the milk. So because the lye, you know, the reaction of the lye and the water, the chemical reaction between the two actually heats up
really, really hot. Yeah.
Really, really hot. Yep. So, and it can burn that milk pretty quickly. So if you use, we use ice milk then instead of fresh milk. So,
okay. Do you dry your soaps in your house, or do you have a place on your property where you dry them?
I have created a couple small cupboards that I dry it in. I've got one. I let it do the original setting for just on our shelf. We've got some shelving in here. So I just let it sit on the shelf in the opening air to dry, and then I cut it, and then I will either stick it in a tote that's got some racks that I've made to put in it, and then a dehumidifier, one of those containers that dehumidify.
Yep.
I've got a tote that does that, and then I've got a little cabinet that I can put it in. So
that's great. When we dry ours, we have racks in our bedroom actually that we
awesome.
That we set the soaps on. And our whole house smells so good every time we make a new batch that's scented. Mm-hmm. And it lasts for about a week. Like, it's really permeating the house.
Yeah.
My favorite is lemon. And we also do an orange clove cinnamon.
Ooh, that in the fall. Fun.
And the whole house smells like autumn for that week that they're fresh, they're brand new.
So I had been using just some bottles of essential oils that I had accumulated over the years. And I haven't really found, well, they don't, the scents from them don't last very long. So people are like, what does it smell like? And I'm like, smells like soap. The scents that I put in there just don't last. So that's one of the things that I've had to, it's on my long list of things to do, is to find scents that actually will last.
Well, the only ones that really, really, really last are the fragrance oils. And they're not all natural, which is a bummer. The strongest scent that we've used is lemongrass for essential oil. And it lasts for a month, maybe, you know, if you don't actually use the soap. But the thing that people don't realize is that once you use the soap in the shower or the bathtub, within a day or two, that kick you in the face scent
is gone. Yep.
It's real quick, and it's really sad. I don't know if you know about Blue Heron Soap Company, and I think they're Blue Heron Home now. They changed their name. They're in Minnesota. And the lady that owns it now, she does an oatmeal almond that I fell in love with back years ago at the Renaissance Festival. That's where I got the first bar of soap.
Okay.
And the company was owned by a different lady at the time. And that is the only soap that has kept its scent. And it's a cold processed lye soap. I can't say processed for some reason this morning.
That's right.
And it's beautiful. I love it. And I have been trying to replicate this my husband and I have been trying to replicate this scent for the last 2 years. And I very politely asked the woman that owns the company now, I said, is there any chance you would tell me what you use for the scents? And she's like, I want to, but I can't.
Right.
It's like, I understand. I just thought it was worth a shot because you don't want to give away your trade secrets.
It's always worth a shot to ask. And the worst they say is no, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got close, but the scent doesn't stay past like 3 showers, which is a big bummer because hers do. Hers smells like that pretty much until the bar is gone. And I really want to know what it is. I'm never going to know. It's never going to happen. But for anyone who's never made soap, it's really easy. It's just that you really have to learn how to do it and you have to be really careful using lye. And even if you use goat's milk for in place of the water, you still need to be careful with the lye.
Yeah. I have found, well, from going from hair to doing all of this, I mean, we deal with chemicals doing hair all the time, and the bleach peroxide mix is about the same. I don't want to say toxicity because that's not the right word, but
maybe.
So if I get the bleach peroxide mix on my fingers, it kind of turns white and like it kind of burns, but it doesn't really burn. And that's the same kind of reaction that will happen with the lye. Except for the lye also has lots of fumes and stuff that go with it if you're using just regular water. So you want to make sure that you're wearing gloves and a mask if you need it and safety glasses. So,
yeah, and if you're going to do it in an enclosed space, you need to have ventilation because it will make you pass out or it will kill you if you're not careful. So, okay, so you were talking about your quail. Are your quail suicide addicts? Because I keep reading about the fact that quail will find any way to unalive themselves.
So these are button quail. So I'm not sure if you're talking about like Katornis white quail. Button quail are smaller. They're about the size of a newborn chick.
Okay.
At their adult size. And they get to that about 8 to 10 weeks. They start laying eggs. So from hatch to 8 to 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. And their eggs are about the size of a bumblebee. So they're pretty small.
Yeah.
I haven't had any that just like up and unalive themselves. I've had a few that like they're fine one day and then I'll come in the next day and they're just dead. And I don't know why. They had food and water and clean bedding and they're just gone. But out of the like 200 I've had in the last year, I think it only happened maybe 5 or 6 times. So it's not like it's a super common occurrence. It's just because of the amount of birds that I've had go through here.
Yeah. Okay. So if you have that many quail, are you selling the eggs? Because I can't imagine you using that many eggs for your meal.
No. So the eggs, because I said they're like the size of a bumblebee, right? They're pretty small. We do a lot of hard boiling and pickling them. They're just like a nice, easy snack, or you can throw a couple on a salad, and they last a little bit longer that way.
Okay. And do you sell quail meat, or you just don't sell anything from the quail?
So I don't sell anything from the quail. And this may sound worthless, but I have a snake at home that only I got it as a secondhand snake, and she's 14 or 15 years old now, and she will only eat live.
Yeah. So
all of my incubating and hatching and grow them up to the 8 weeks. If I've got a lot more males than females, then a lot of the males will go home.
Oh, that's fine. That makes sense.
I'm kind of a realist on things. So like I do the hatching, any eggs that don't hatch or any chicks that like don't survive, they just go out to the big birds, the chickens will eat them. I try not to waste things. We have enough waste in life in this day and age, especially food waste. All my food waste goes out to the chickens and ducks and goats, and they eat pretty much everything they can. And
So you were saying that you do birthday parties and things. When you do birthday parties, do you let the kids hang out with the goats?
Yep. So we do, Well, I guess I shouldn't just say yep. It depends on what the parents want to do. So I have children. They are now 14 and almost 11. And I had found that birthday parties, you'd go to a place or they'd want to do, let's say, bounce housing, right? So you go to the bounce house place and it's like $200 in the minimum amount of kids, or the minimum amount is like $200, and you have 10 kids there and you have to order food through them and you have to do this and you have to do that. And then your bill at the end of the day ends up being like $500-$600. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. I like things to be cheaper if the family needs it cheaper, or easier and more expensive, depending, you know, depending on what the family can do and what they need. So I offer multiple different things. So it's only $25 an hour, and birthdays parties that we typically do 2 hours. So it's $50 rental fee for the space. And then we do like the petting zoo. If it's depending on if it's summer or winter, we can go outside and they each get like a cup of feed, and then they can kind of spread the feed out or like hand feed whatever animals come up to them. Or we can do indoor stuff, and we just set up this little pen area with, and bring in a goat or two, and then we've got bunnies that they can snuggle, and it all kind of depends on the time of year and what the families want. We have a mining sluice, so that's one of the water things that you put the sand and gems into, like a strainer, kind of like panning for gold, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got a big one of those that they can choose to do if they want to. We've got all the different crafts that we offer. A big one has been fairy gardens. The kiddos love fairy gardens. So they get a little dish with some soil, and then they get to pick out their plants, and then they get to just go crazy on decorating it. And some of them go crazy on decorating it, and some of them just pick out a couple decorations and throw them in there and call it good.
Yeah, I love fairy gardens. I think they're so much fun.
It's to be a big hit for all the kiddos. They really like it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's a pick and choose, and you can decide, you can bring your own food, have it catered, or just bring in food that you made. It doesn't matter to me. I'm sure there are health laws somewhere that say you're not supposed to do that, but if you're having it at your house, you can do whatever you want. And I feel like a birthday party, not all of us have the kind of money that can support a $200 bill from Casey's for just pizza. So,
yes,
it's all kind of, I try to be more flexible that way about things.
Okay. I have two other questions. One is about photo shoots, and one is about weddings. Have you guys ever hosted a wedding?
I've not hosted weddings. I'm not super interested in it. Having done hair before, I know how crazy people get with weddings and how specific, and I get it. It's a big day. I don't want to be a part of it.
Okay. That's reasonable. I love that. You know what you want to do. And then photo shoots. Do you let people come out and do photo shoots on your property?
I absolutely would. I had one friend, a friend that's kind of like an aspiring photographer. She came out, and a bunch of girlfriends came out and got dressed up, and she did a photo shoot out here. That was a couple years ago now, and I haven't had anybody come out and do anything since.
Okay.
I'm absolutely open to it. We've got some great areas. I've got a little prairie area that I throw a bunch of wild flower seeds into every spring, and it turns into a really pretty flowery field.
Yeah.
And then there's the goats and stuff that we can always bring out and do pictures. And I've had some really bad windstorms the last couple of years, and have taken down a couple of trees. So we've got some fun trees that are just laying down that you can stand on or sit near or whatever is a fun.
Yeah. I was just thinking your place would be a great place for high school graduation photos, or like Easter pictures even, because you have bunnies and you have goats.
Yeah.
You have ducks too.
Yep, we've got ducks and we got all that fun stuff. We do a big Easter egg hunt, like I said. Last year we had, I want to say, over 100 kids. because it had over 1,000 eggs and we only had like 20 left at the end of the day. And I do like the big wooden cutouts where it's like got the big picture and then it's got the face cutout. So I've painted a few of those for Easter. So you can be the Easter bunny or Easter egg or just some flowers. And
cute.
Yeah. So I do, I try to create a space where families can come together and be a part of the community and like want to get out of the house and away from screens and that kind of stuff.
I love what you're doing. It sounds so much fun. If you had been around when my kids were young, I definitely would have brought the kids out. My kids are not young anymore. They're grown. So,
yeah.
And then I have one more question because I was thinking about it and I'm going to ask. When you are getting ready for an event, like a birthday party or the Easter egg hunt or any of it, do you get anxiety about it? Do you get butterflies in your stomach? Are you like, oh, I hope it goes well?
I feel like that's a multi-part question, but sure. Only because like I don't, and that might seem strange to people. But I have had my husband and I have been together for 18 years and 17 years of that he's had PTSD from being overseas. So I have had to learn to not necessarily control my emotions, but to not be so anxious about everything because he is so anxious about everything. So one of us has to keep a level head.
Yeah.
So I've had to do a lot of like meditating and breathing and making sure I center myself before things get out of hand. And I don't feel the panic anymore. I know I need to get things done and I get them done and I make sure things are ready before people get here. If things aren't perfect, they're not perfect in my eyes. No one's going to know the difference.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I take things anymore.
Okay. The reason I ask is I was getting myself ready to chat with you this morning because about an hour before I do the interviews, I start thinking about what I want to ask and how it's going to go and that stuff.
Yeah.
And it will not stop. An hour before I'm supposed to interview somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, my stomach gets kind of fluttery and I get kind of anxious about it. And I have to take a big deep breath and go, I'm just having a conversation with someone. And if it sucks, I don't put it out. And if it's great, it's going to be great. And I have to remind myself every time. I've been doing this since August. You would think I would be past this, but I'm not.
Well, sometimes it takes longer. Like I said, I've been doing it for years. So like, I try to stay at a constant, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be what it's going to be. And there's not a whole lot of... You can only prep so much for things, right? So like there's only so much you can do. And if you've gotten to that point before it starts, then so be it. And it's just going to be what it's going to be. And there's really no reason to stress so much about it.
Yes. And the minute I sit down and the people come in, whoever it is I'm talking to shows up in the room to be recorded, I'm like, hey, how are you? And everything's fine. Mm-hmm. But that hour before, I'm like, I'm doing this again. This is crazy.
But at least it's only the hour before and not like, you know, you messaged me, what was it, just yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, and yesterday, yeah.
Like, at least it wasn't like, oh, I found this person. I'm going to message them about it. And then you're like, that's when it starts. And you start panicking from that point. It's
no. Way worse. No, that's how it was with the first couple, though. Like, I've never done something like this before. And when I had two people say yes, the first two people I asked, they said yes. And I was like, oh, I'm going to actually do this. Okay, this is new. And it's fine. I love it. I love talking to you guys about what you're doing because I always learn something and I feel like I'm promoting you and I'm promoting your ideas and I'm promoting things that are good for the planet. Like everything that I'm doing is good. And
yes.
I want to do good.
Yep. So. And you're better at this part of it than I am. I'm terrible at, like, I've always wanted to do a YouTube channel or just a podcast and talk to random people about all the crazy things. And like, I can't get to that point, but.
You're also super busy. My goodness. So many things going on all the time. It takes time to put on a podcast, to produce a podcast.
It does. Yep. I'm glad that there are people like you that do it, because the information needs to get out there, but I can't do it myself.
Yeah. I spend like at this point, probably 25 to 35 hours a week producing this little tiny, nobody really knows about it show. And I mentioned that to my husband the other day, and he said, what are you going to do if it actually becomes popular? And I said, work 45 hours a week, probably, but it'll
just be doing the same and putting it out, and
it'll be just
people are loving what you're doing already. So
yeah, it's so much fun. And it doesn't feel like work, which helps.
Yes.
So, but anyway, I told you last night it was about 30 minutes, give or take, for this. And, it's at 35 minutes and 45 seconds right now. So I'm going to let you go. Thank you, Brittany, for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate
it. It's been a good conversation. If you ever want to talk again, let me know.
Absolutely. And good luck with everything you're doing. Keep doing the good things.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
Yep. You too.
Bye. Okay.